Okay, we're recording these separately, but thanks to the magic of editing, it's gonna sound like we're recording them together at the same time.
We are totally in the same room right now, and not pasted together thanks to the audio editing software.
Ready?
Ready when you are, Ryan.
Hi, I'm Ryan Rowe, and who are you?
Hi, I'm Joe Hennis, and who's this dapper gentleman to my right?
That's right, Joe, and we're from 1, 2, 3...
Toughpigs.com.
And you're listening to a podcast. Hey, Joe, what podcast are they listening to?
Ha ha ha! You said it, Ryan.
That's right, it's Frog Kissin', an official podcast of Toughpigs.com.
Hey, you kiss your mother with that mouth?
Great job, Joe.
Sorry, can we do another take?
You're welcome.
Yay! Welcome to another episode of Frog Kissin'. You thought you were going to have to say it, didn't you?
I did.
You were prepared to do it, but I was like, no.
You did it for me.
Yeah, we don't have time to mess around, because you have to leave. Why do we always cut these things so damn close? First thing before we get into Muppet Classic Theater, which we're going to do, and not both Muppet Classic Theater and Kermit Swamp Ears. Whatever. We don't care. So, Paul Williams has a new podcast with Tracy Jackson, and it's called Gratitude and Trust, based on their book that I read some of, but I haven't finished it. But what I did read, I really liked, so I do want to finish it. I borrowed it from work, and then I had to give it back because I had it for, because that was when my dad died. So I was like, well, that's not something I'm reading right now, you know? So I was like, yeah, you know, I had it, and I borrowed it, and then my dad died, and my dad got sick, and then my dad died, and then I just kind of forgot about it. And so, yeah, but they were like, well, you can keep it if you want for a little while longer. I was like, nah, I'll give it back because I'm not, I was reading like 4 other books at the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, I need to get the book and actually like read it. So that's going to be a fun podcast. I listened to the first 5 minutes and they were kind of just setting up how they met each other, which was really cute. Evidently at Robert Mitchum's house. Their first guest is Chris Hardwick, so I'm like super excited to hear the rest of that podcast when this podcast is over and to edit our previous podcast. So let's get started. Muppet Classic Theater.
Muppet Classic Theater. Did you grow up watching Muppet Classic Theater?
Not really. I don't... I think I remember seeing it when me and Allison, my BFF, first got into... Or when I reintroduced Muppets to her, basically. Mm-hmm. And I can't see it. Like, my memory is so bad anyway. But I think she actually had it on VHS. And I've, like, freaked out because I didn't remember seeing it. Because I don't think my mom ever got that one for us. And by that time, we were kind of like, just, you know, Muppets was a thing when we were kids and we still watched stuff, but like we weren't keeping up on things.
Yeah.
Evidently, we saw Muppet Treasure Island or Muppets from Space or something in the theater, but I had like, I don't remember that at all. So, yeah, I think I probably suffered some kind of brain injury that I just don't remember because my memory is the worst. So, but when we saw it, when we watched it, we kind of watched it, like, every weekend for a couple of weeks. Like, I don't know, probably, like, 4 weekends in a row. Because I'd always go to her house for the weekend. And it was really funny. Like, there were certain parts of it that we just, like, found so funny. For example, that little weasel guy. Who I meant to do a little bit more research on him. Because, I don't know, like, the weasel dude, like, the weasels. Because I remember mentioning it last week, or last podcast, the weasels, like, they're always named Eugene or something. I don't know. Anyway, I couldn't find anything on it last time, I think.
Yeah.
Because I remember looking while we were doing stuff, and then, like, it's like, yeah, we'll edit this part out. Yeah, but there's, I gotta go to my mail. There's debate about that weasel. Some people find it hilarious. Some people do not.
Which we'll talk about later in the show.
When we get to the weasel.
Yeah. For me, I grew up watching Muppet Classic Theater. Like, mm-hmm. I very distinctly remember, we never owned it, but we had rented it all the time from the movie store.
Yeah, I think I might have rented it at some point.
I remember loving it. I thought that it was so funny, and I just remember, like, I can remember distinctly that I really liked Andy and Randy when I was a kid. Like,
oh,
I thought they...
Oh, really?
Well, I was... You have to keep in mind, it came out... What, do you know what year it came out in?
I want to say, like, I don't know. I forgot.
I'll look it up. But basically, it came out in like the mid 90s. It came out around Muppets Tonight. So, you know, I was like 5 or 6, probably. So, you know, my
90,
sense of humor
wow.
was
94.
Yeah, so I was 4 years old when it came out, and my
I was
sense of humor
like 97.
Was not refined at that point. I thought dumb things were hilarious.
Like Andy and Randy?
Exactly. So, and I didn't have that many memories of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, I remembered certain things they did. Like, I remember there was King Midas and Rumpelstiltskin and a couple of those. And then I rewatched it probably about 2 years ago when I endeavored one summer to watch every Muppet production throughout the entire summer, which I did successfully, which was an experience.
Wow. Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot you did.
Yeah,
that.
But then I remember watching it and being like, "Oh, this isn't quite as good as I remember it." And so
I've done that.
That initial rewatch, it kind of put me off from it. But then like rewatching it this time, I was able to be like, "Oh, it's cute." And like for the age I was at and people maybe around children, that's what I'm saying, children, it's probably very enjoyable, but it is very I don't want to say childish, but it's very much aimed towards a younger audience.
Right. Yeah.
So it doesn't really speak to me anymore these days, but I enjoyed it more.
You enjoyed watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. I found more enjoyment in it.
And I think we need to like next episode we're going to talk about Kermit Swamp Ears, which it's not as great. I don't know. It's not.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable.
I've only seen Kermit Swamp Ears once.
But
I own it, and I've only seen it once. And there's a reason I've only seen it once.
Well, yeah, like I own everything too. Doesn't mean I like everything, but I still own it because reasons.
Of course,
because it's Muppets.
Reasons.
Yes, and now podcast reasons. Haha, for work. maybe one day we'll be able to write off Muppet purchases as expenses, or.
It would be a really nice day.
So, because I took notes, I want to go through each story, and because we'll have time to do that. So, you didn't take any notes.
I didn't.
You just
which
watched
is very
it.
Out of character for me,
that's
but
so
I
strange.
Watched it while secretly. Well, I watched it secretly while at work, and so
that's
I,
terrible.
I could have taken notes, but I was also trying to be somewhat productive while watching it.
Yeah.
So you're much more organized than me. Stem round.
Well, I didn't have any. I wasn't doing anything else except watching it, and then like I'm gonna take notes because you know I was like I wanted to be super prepared, and then you ended up having we had to reschedule anyway. So I'm like, okay, great. and I had like just finished like right on time. I had like 5 minutes, and then you were like, oh yeah, we can't. So Three Little Pigs, Andy and Randy, Miss Piggy, then Grumpy Old Man Dad Pig,
and the wolf, which is. Jerry Nelson's wolf sounded like Blind Pew without the French accent.
True, but he. I also remember him playing. He would play like the wolves in Sesame Street, so like that's what it made me think of. So I actually made a note. Love Jerry as a wolf always. that was my last note. I like that. You know, of course, it was Piggy that was going to be the smart one. So kind of a feminist bent, which is good.
I had that same thought. Mm-hmm. I was like, I mean, obviously, if you pair up the three pigs, she's going to be the smart one. But it was still nice that she was the one.
But, and it was smart. It wasn't like, you know, she wasn't like, it didn't go like the Miss Piggy route where she, you know, used her karate skills or whatever, which I think she did anyway. But, you know, she actually had like a plan.
Yeah.
And
she got to use her brain.
Exactly. Which, you know, and I like that it was like, it was very, oh, well, you can't do this because you're just a girl. And it was like, it was really apparent that they were being misogynistic and stuff so that she could show them up and then, you know, and then they had to apologize to her and everything because, yeah, they should. and I said, the song sounds vaguely Fraggle Rock, except not that good. That, yeah, that was that respect song. Yeah. It did. That ba-da-da-da. I was like, that's a Fraggle Rock riff. But it wasn't that good.
I'm sure we'll talk more about the songs as we go along, but none of the songs left any impression on me.
I had like one that I think was catchy, but that's kind of it.
The only one I can remember is, we'll talk about it, but the Rumpelstiltskin one.
Yeah. Okay, so, all right, Three Little Pigs, done. King Midas, I really like Rizzo's narrating. And like the way, and I think the and I mentioned this here too, so the way that Steve approaches this whole thing, it's like he knows that it's probably not, it's for kids. He knows that. So like Kermit, I mean Rizzo's narrating and Kermit acting like he's acting. I really, for some reason, I really like, even though they kind of like steer away from that, but like, you know, the way like Kermit's like over enunciating or just saying his lines kind of strange. I don't know why. I just really like that.
Just kind of being over the
Yeah.
top.
And Rizzo narrating, I can't even like think of how it is what he was actually doing now. Kind of probably that same over enunciating, like he's reading from a script kind of thing. Oh, the songs sound like one person on a keyboard, kind of like what Mystery Science Theater would do. Where it's like, I mean, the one like Mystery Science Theater, like you could tell it was just Mike Nelson on his keyboard, like doing the whole thing. And it was like exactly the same thing for here, like the super kind of low budget kind of thing. But I did say the sets are cool for the low budgetness.
That's true.
And I like how the Muppets are, they're obviously playing characters, but they're still in character of themselves. Like Piggy, you know, still being kind of greedy, and Kermit wanting like, you know, world peace or whatever for his kingdom. But it's Piggy's idea to, you know, turn stuff into gold and all that. And I don't even like, I didn't write that, I just wrote, my notes are so scratched. So I didn't even write down, I think it was Bill's character, or he says hello, well, hello, Goat Man, but it sounds like Ron Funches. I don't know why. It just came to me. I think it's a Bill character. I don't even know who it was though. No, I guess we,
I
yeah, I
can't
don't know. I don't
remember.
even know. But he says, well, hello, Goat Man, like Ron Funches. Oh no, it's Rizzo, I think. Yeah, it's Rizzo when Gonzo runs back. Anyway. Not that Ron Funches was even like on the comic scene at the time, in 94. It just sounded like Ron Funches to me. Boy Who Cried Wolf. Do you have any other thoughts about King Midas? I'm like railroading you just because
Well,
I
you
have
have notes,
notes.
and like, I mean, I watched it, but I will be quite honest, I did not watch it very closely. While I enjoyed it a lot more, it did not fully captivate my
Your
undivided
attention.
attention. And because I was at work, I wasn't like purposely like just staring at I wasn't watching it with intent.
Right.
I'll be more diligent when I watch Swamp Years.
Take notes. I got a lot of notes for that, man.
I will. We'll have a notes off. No, I didn't have any more thoughts about King Midas. I mean, like this, as I said before, like the songs didn't do anything for me. I don't remember the King Midas
I
song.
have no idea.
I am sure it had something to do with gold. That's all I got.
I literally, like, I didn't write anything down for it except for that the song sounds like a person on a keyboard. Yeah, I have no idea. I don't remember it at all.
The next one was Boy Who Cries Wolf.
Yeah, I actually really liked, I like that story.
It was good. I liked how like the sheep kind of solved the problem.
Yeah, and the song was catchy, and it's the same wolf. I like it. That's what I literally what I wrote. Same wolf. I like it.
It was the same wolf, but I thought that Jerry's vocal performance was like almost a different characterization of the
Yeah,
wolf.
probably.
I didn't know if it was supposed to be like the same wolf or not,
Well, it was
but
the
it
same
probably, yeah.
puppet, so I don't
Okay.
know. And it was Jerry.
That's true. I don't know. I just remember being like, ah, oh, the voice sounds different in this one. I don't know what that means.
The
I don't
song
know.
was catchy.
Yeah.
I like the line, for not crying wolf except when an actual wolf was present. I thought that was funny. There were like some really good lines in here. Like a couple like, you know, lines, so overall not the best. I like Gonzo in the little hat.
I like how Gonzo gets just a varying amount of costumes throughout this entire thing. He gets a
And
lot of them.
like I kind of like Kermit's mayor costume, except it made him look really bulky because of that jacket and because of his posture in general. But it, I don't know. 30-second intermission, there was, like, some people that were kind of like, yeah, why is there, like, a 30-second intermission? I'm like, because you're supposed to pause the tape. That's why it doesn't matter.
I guess. I mean, I can understand some people's frustration with it. I mean, it's, like, just 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
And they're talking through most of it. So, I mean, that's supposed to kind of be the joke that, yeah. Like, it's a, we're watching a quote-unquote play. And
you're
so
watching a 40-minute long, or, like, an hour-long video.
Right.
Right? But VHS purpose is to pause the tape, dummies, is what
yeah.
I wrote.
But it's being presented as a play, and so,
yeah.
Like, there's supposed to be an intermission, and then they don't really know what to do with the intermission.
And there's plays that have done that, like, at the beginning of an intermission, like, fourth wall-breaking plays, anyway, like, Reduce Shakespeare, and then there was some play that I did in high school where, like, you know, something happens when intermission is supposed to be happening, but it's, like, right before, so people know to get up and leave. Or, like, you know, right before they come back, technically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of plays where, like, during intermission, like, actors will, like, come out and start
yeah.
improvising with the audience, or, like, they'll be doing something on stage, but it's something very small.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to be paying attention.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of theater. I've been in a lot of theater. Ah. Yeah. So, I mean, it made sense. And I thought it wasn't... I can see why some people don't really like it, but I thought it was an alright gag. It's short, and I don't know.
And you're probably not going to need an intermission when you're watching an hour-long VHS tape
yeah,
anyway. So the fact that it's presented like theater is why they threw the intermission in there, and we are talking way too much about the intermission.
It's like what I had the most to say about it, because people wrote about it on the comments.
They did! People were really upset about the intermission. And by people, I mean, like, two people maybe mentioned it. Anyway, Rumpelstiltskin. I really liked the Rumpelstiltskin one. It's not my favorite one, but it's probably, like, my second favorite. If
yeah,
I had to, like, pick a favorite, it's going to be Elvis and the Shoemaker. But the Rumpelstiltskin one is, like, second favorite. And my very first note is every single time. There is not one time where Piggy and Kermit meet, where it's not love at first sight. And they do the close-up. And then Kermit gets big ol' hard eyes, and, you know, so does Piggy. But it's always, like, they usually show Kermit first,
mm-hmm.
which I think is always interesting and important to his character, because then, you know, he, like, denies it up and down.
Yeah.
Men. So Piggy looks so pretty as the queen, but the dress is the same color as her hair, so that's not cool. It doesn't go. So she's very, like, yellowy peach.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
because
that's
they
true.
Do that. But she does look very pretty. The song is catchy.
The song is super catchy.
But if you, like, really paid attention to it, it's pretty sloppy.
Oh, yeah, it's...
like, not everybody knew when to come in at certain points.
It's not a great song, and it's not incredibly well done, but it is the most catchy because it's the only one that got stuck in my head after it was over.
That's true, because they repeat, like, the same thing 40 times.
Yeah, oh, I can't sing... I don't remember the verses. I just remember the freaking chorus, because it's...
The verses are just names.
Yeah, they're all just... I know, but I don't remember... I remember some of them.
It doesn't matter, because they're just all names, and they don't even rhyme half the time, I don't think. It's like, is it Herman? Maybe Mortimer? I don't know. Like... Nobody pays attention to that.
There was a Leroy in there.
Leroy, yeah. I think they tossed in a couple of... There's a couple of puppeteer names, too.
Yeah.
Sure. So, let's see. Oh, no. I'm too far back. I'm looking in... I saved two because we're going to talk about that damn weasel. Oh, I cursed. We're going to talk about that weasel.
I think it's okay. I don't know how I felt about the weasel. I saw it.
I thought about it.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so Rosalind Strand, lovely Anthony Strand's lovely wife, it's funny because he's just going nuts, and then he stops perfectly in time to say, we gotta get it. I like to imagine that no one in the Muppet group actually knows him. He's just a super excited photobombing royalty fan that wanted to sing when the woodland flash mob. And that response itself is funny, which is why I wanted to read it. So that's the for party, and Joe is of the against party, which kind of surprised me. He says, there's two reasons I hate it, and he was, like, dead serious. One is because I feel like it highlights how boring the entire special is. Jesus. That weasel has That weasel has no shoulders to hold all that weight on. Because the highlight is the thing is a thing that shakes like a set of keys in front of a baby. The other is shaking a puppet is something I would do, not something I would expect from a trained puppeteer and seasoned veterans of the Muppet world. It's just dumb.
Yeah, I think for the most part I side with Joe. I really like Rosalind's theory about him just being like a rabid royalty groupie, and that's...
That aside, though, it's just funny. The thing is, it's not because he's wiggling around, it's because his arms have no support, so they just flap around. And his little head just goes so quickly, it's just, he's just like a little blur. That's why it's funny. Joe, it's still funny.
I don't know. I kind of agree with him at the point that, like, you know, it is something that, like,
yeah, it is.
If I was thrown into a Muppet production, I could do that. I could just wave a puppet around. So, I mean, you do, on the one hand, you do expect higher quality, but at the same time, this was a more low-budget, straight-to-video film, so...
Well, yeah, but I bet that little puppet did not even have, like, little arm rods to do anything
with.
Yeah,
I was actually just wondering why they didn't give him arm rods for someone to hold on to.
Maybe because I can't remember, I thought I remember reading it or hearing it somewhere that somebody specifically asked about that weasel. And somebody said, oh yeah, that was Brian, or oh yeah, that was Bill. And it's one of those, and I can't remember who, and it drives me crazy. But I like the comparison of jangling a set of keys in front of a baby.
It's a good comparison.
That's literally what's happening. But still, I think it's still funny.
I'm sure that's exactly what it was like when I was a kid watching that movie.
Probably.
I thought that weasel was hilarious.
Yeah, and me and Allison thought it was hilarious when we first saw it. I'm like, what is with that puppet? And I'm like, and that's like, I wanted to make a weasel. I immediately wanted to make that puppet. Okay, what else? Oh, Piggy is the hero of her own story. She solves the puzzle on her own. Yay! I wrote that in. That's my favorite part.
The original story of Rumpelstiltskin, doesn't she just, like, overhear him? Like, he's, like, hanging out behind a building, and he's like, ho-ho, she'll never guess my name is Rumpelstiltskin. Like, something really...
I think
really,
so. Something like...
Really
something
dumb
really
like
dumb.
That.
Yeah.
So, I thought that they kind of came up with a better...
And it was, like, funny and anachronistic, where, you know, you've been to camp. You said that earlier.
Oh,
good mothers always sew their kids' names into their clothes. I thought that was cute. Yeah, but I like that, you know, after all that crap that Piggy had to go through because of men, no, because her dad was an arrogant jerk, and, you know, Kermit's all like, well, I loved you anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered, but you're going to give up her firstborn son and consistently lie to me because of your father, and under the pain of death because of my shit royal advisor, there I go, cursing again, God.
Woot.
But, like, you know, so it wasn't really either of their faults because of just crap people that are around them. Yeah, and then she just solves the puzzle, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like that she did that. And I don't remember what the original ending of Rumpelstiltskin was.
I'm pretty sure it's that. I know she, like, learns his name somehow. I'm pretty sure she just catches him saying it, and she's like, mm-hmm. Oh, that guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
Yes. So
I remember the thing in 10th Kingdom where it was kind of like that, but it wasn't Rumpelstiltskin. The blind woodchopper's going to chop off Wolf's head, and he figures it out because his name is in his hat, but Tony can't get to the hat, so he gets this bird that can speak to go look in the hat, and then she tells him. So he thinks it's Rumpelstiltskin because that's the story, right? Mm-hmm. When John Larroquette shouts, Juliet! My cousin laughed so hard at the way he said it that he made me rewind the tape and watch it again. Let's see. Rumpelstiltskin or story original? I don't know. Ending?
I mean, I had a kid's book when I was growing up with Rumpelstiltskin in it, so I'm pretty sure that is the ending.
Well, I'm sure, like, it is a ending.
Yeah,
but, like,
I mean,
I'm sure the original ending is, like, so super gross or something, because, you know, Brothers Grimm.
I don't think Rumpelstiltskin comes from Brothers
Grimm. Oh, let me... Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Does he?
Yep.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, I just wikied it, so of course that's exactly, it's going to be exactly correct. it was collected by the Brothers Grimm. Let's see. Her many guesses over the first two days fail, well, I can't read, but before the final night, she wanders out into the woods searching for the imp and comes across a remote mountain cottage and watches unseen as the imp hops about his fire and sings, because he's crazy, so he sings to himself. And the song's lyrics, "Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow, I'll go to the king's house. Nobody knows my name. I'm called Rumpelstiltskin." I'm sure that rhymes. I'm sure that rhymes in German. Some versions.
That is so dumb.
Some versions have the.
I'm sure in German it does not come off as that dumb, but like, I just imagine like a little old man singing that to himself.
Yeah. Some versions have the imp limiting the number of daily guesses to 3, hence the total number of guesses allowed to the maximum of 9. Okay, I didn't read that earlier. That makes no sense. The imp comes to the queen on the 3rd day, and she, after first feigning ignorance, reveals his true name, Rumpelstiltskin. He loses his temper and his bargain. Versions vary on whether he accuses the devil or witches of having revealed his name to the queen. In the 1812 edition of the Brothers Grimm Tales, Rumpelstiltskin then ran away angrily and never came back. The ending was revised in the final 1857 edition to a more gruesome ending, wherein this is why I wanted to read all this, wherein Rumpelstiltskin, in his rage, drove his right foot so far into the ground that it sank up to his waist. Then, in a passion, he seized the left foot with both hands and tore himself in two.
Yep. I just, like, when you were reading the ending, I was like, oh, doesn't he, like, rip himself in half or something like that?
There you go.
What a weird story. I might actually prefer the Muppet Classic Theater version of that story.
Yeah. I might have told you this before. My brother has a Brothers Grimm book. And there's a story in there where it's, I can't remember what it's called, but it's literally like a paragraph long. And it's a little boy runs away from his grandparents, and they tell him not to, and he doesn't listen, and then he turns into a goose, and that's the story. That is the whole story. He turns into a goose, and that's it. I'm pretty sure that's right. But it's like a paragraph and a half long, and that's it. I'm like, wow, sometimes I just drop the ball. Like, they have to some kind of weird quota to meet at some point.
Gotta keep turning these things out. We'll just write one about a goose. Right.
Somebody needs something about, some old lady needs something to keep her grandson in check. I don't know. Yeah, that's literally it. Next story, starring Rizzo and Fozzie, finally. I don't think he really comes around until Emperor's New Clothes.
No, this was the only one he was in.
Yeah.
Emperor's New Clothes is my favorite one of.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I actually did really like that one, so that's probably third favorite.
I had remembered that this one was my favorite as a kid, and it still is my favorite. I don't know, because Gonzo's my favorite, but for some reason I really liked Rizzo being in the story.
Yeah, and his thing was, like, really in character, too, because Rizzo's a little bit shady, but, like, and kind of, like, because they're rats, which is animal, speciesist? I don't know.
Speciesist.
Anyway, but Rizzo's a little bit shady.
Yeah.
However, he does panic over Gonzo getting hurt every time in every story in every movie, which is really cute.
Mm.
When Gonzo, he cuts the whatever that is, and he goes up into the catwalk area and then falls down, and then Rizzo panics.
Uh-huh.
This is my second note. Robin!
Robin's like only in the last...
With, like, 7 ends.
He's only in the last 2 stories.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they follow the story of Emperor's New Clothes pretty closely. And mm-hmm. I like Fozzie and whatever dog puppet they were using for, like,
yeah,
police dog. I don't know.
I was gonna say something. No, I think I said that later. Oh, no, that was for Kermit Swamp Ears. Okay, I'm getting my notes mixed up because I'm remembering things, but I didn't write things down, but I'm not looking at what I wrote down. Yeah, I really like that dog puppet, too. And I want to say he's probably in some other stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I thought that maybe he was recycled from Dog City.
Yeah, he probably is.
Yeah.
But, like, I haven't watched Dog City. I have it somewhere, I think.
I haven't watched it in a while.
Muppet Wiki. Source of all our power. Okay, I got something on Hans Christian Andersen, who does not look anything like Danny Kaye.
Nope.
And that always upset me as a child. I don't know. Anyway, I really like the whole look. Everybody's clothes, everybody's costumes are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. What else? Oh, yeah, Fozzie finally gets what he's always wanted, people to listen and love him. Aww.
And laugh at his jokes.
And also, like, speaking of outfits, I liked Rizzo's little tiny bag.
Mm-hmm.
His little bag. I literally wrote that down, his little bag. But, like, that was kind of when how it was expected, and that kind of stuck pretty close.
I remember I really liked the song, but I now do not remember the song.
Mm.
This one was my
I don't know.
This one was my favorite song, and I don't remember it, so I don't know what that says.
I didn't have anything written down about the song.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Cool.
Forgettable.
I guess it was enjoyable but forgettable.
Mm.
Aw.
Elvis is in The Shoemaker. That's my favorite one.
That's like everybody's
because
favorite
they went,
one.
Yeah, because they went so kind of threw the book out.
I mean, the basis of the
so
book
anachronistic,
is
yeah.
The basis of the book is definitely there, but then they're like, what if instead of elves they were like Elvises?
I like that it's Rizzo's idea and they just went with it. And something happened, magically happened, and everybody said, "Okay, yeah, we'll do Elvis."
Basically.
Which I just watched a movie about, which was like kind of a, it's called The Identical. It's on Netflix. So when Elvis was born, this is trivia that I forgot and then I remembered again. He was actually born a twin, and his twin brother was born stillbirth, like 30 minutes or so before him. So the movie is about what if Elvis's twin brother survived and was given to a revivalist preacher then to raise away from Tennessee or whatever, and grew up just being a regular normal Joe while original Elvis grew up to be the superstar. It was a really sweet movie. Seth Green is in it. Ray Liotta's in it. Just kind of like naming, you know, Muppet people. Ashley Judd's in it. I don't think Joe Pantoliano has done anything with the Muppets, so he doesn't get a mention. And that was it.
Nice.
But it was really cute. It was a nice movie. And it kind of proved, like, first of all, the dude that plays Elvis looks just like Elvis and sounds just like Elvis. But how they did it, it wasn't Elvis. It was like he was known as the Dream instead of the King.
Mm-hmm.
It was like not Elvis and then not Elvis.
Nice.
Right? It was a cute movie. Anyway, back to back to the Elvises and the Shoemaker. Eternal Optimist Robin, heart less than 3.
Robin was really sweet in this one. I mean, he's mm-hmm. always really sweet, but like even more
yeah.
so than normal.
My favorite line in the whole story, in the whole movie: "Dear nephew, you are both kind and nearsighted."
I did really like that line.
I love that line. And then I just put in all capital letters, "Bill's Elvis, though."
This was the only, like, real big character that Bill played in this one?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Well, because he didn't have any main characters yet, except other than Pepe and Johnny Fiamma.
Yeah.
And that's, well, no, not even yet.
Well, I was going to say, like, because this was before Muppets Tonight,
yeah.
So yeah.
I was going to say, no, he didn't have anybody.
So, I guess maybe this was, like, his really big thing outside, first really big thing outside of Dinosaurs. Well, he was in Muppet Treasure Island. Oh,
mm-hmm.
wait, but that came out in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
So, never mind. I'm going to stop talking.
Nothing had happened yet. Yeah, he was just doing, like, right hands and
he was, you know, it wasn't Muppets, but Dinosaurs. He was the body of
yeah.
the, wow, I don't remember
yeah.
any of the characters' names, of the dad on it.
Earl.
Yes.
Yep. See, you can remember it because it came out at the same time as Family Matters, and it was kind of, it was a lot like Family Matters, except they didn't have an Urkel character. But that's what, like, as a kid, that's what I always compared it to.
Okay.
So there's Earl, and then there's Carl.
Okay.
Right? But anyway, I don't know. That's how I remembered it. Because it was on, like, TJF, and it was on at the same time. And then the song was good. You can't go wrong with Simple 12-Bar Blues. I thought the song was good. It was kind of like a not Blue Suede Shoes song.
Yeah.
Except they did actually say Blue Suede Shoes.
They did.
Oh, yeah, and I said favorite story. They did something very different with it, thanks to Rizzo. And Kermit and Robin both doing that little Kermit flail.
Yep.
I just put help. They're both doing it, help. And then lastly, and somebody asked us about this too, and I don't remember who it was, but they were like, when did you notice it? Did you notice it the first time you watched it? No, I didn't notice it the first time I watched it. I noticed it the first time that it was said, and I think it was Anthony Strand that said it.
Was it the thing about Rizzo?
Yes. Dave Goals as Rizzo.
I mean, I've only seen it, this is only my second time as an adult seeing it. And I did notice it this time. I read the comment and then I forgot about it. And then it happened and I was like, oh yeah.
And like, wow, that is really Dave.
My guess is because Kermit was...
It was good. It was a good thing. And because, you know, the whole thing was kind of low budget, they were like, well, let's not try to do the complication of recording it and doing that. Or maybe they meant to have Steve ADR or something, and then they just didn't.
Yeah,
I was like, nah, it sounds close enough. Fine, let's get this out, you know.
My guess was that because Kermit was on screen at the time, it was Dave doing the puppet, and then I feel like they probably just forgot to dub that one line with Steve.
Or something, yeah. Or it was, like, too complicated for... They didn't want it to look messy, even though Rizzo's mouth is so tiny.
I don't know, but I was watching, and I was like, oh... That rat looks like Rizzo. Wait, that was Rizzo.
It was Rizzo, and I think it was a fair Rizzo impersonation.
It was definitely Dave.
Well, yeah, given that, you know, they didn't have time or, you know, whatever kind of constraints, I don't know. If you think about it, it just sounded like Philo.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah. Like, it did, though. So that's fun, though. That's a neat little thing where somebody just picks it up and does it for, like, a second. That's interesting. And, you know, kind of says maybe too much about this production. I don't know.
Do we want to look at some of the questions and comments that we haven't gotten to? We've covered...
I have two more comments.
Okay.
First of all, I put Dave Goals Rizzo !! XD. Like the scrunchy face.
Nice.
XD. I put emoticons in my notes. That's how I roll.
Nice.
And then another note by itself, written by Jim Lewis and Bill Prady.
Oh.
So this is like the stuff that Bill Prady was talking about and other people were talking about. Yeah, he's got experience with them, which is good. So yeah, and he has a lot more sitcom writing experience now.
Yes, that's obviously true.
And running and all that. So I think we're okay for the future. The new Muppet ABC series is what I'm talking about. Random thought. Robin was in Muppet Babies as a tadpole. And Kermit was 4 years old. So Kermit isn't really all that much older than Robin, if you think about it. I've never thought about that before. And it just like was a random thought that came to me while I was watching this. So I jotted it down at the end.
I guess frog ears are... bigger than frog human years.
Frog ears are different, figuring that, you know, Kermit's now 60, and most frogs don't live that long.
That's true.
And Robin is still, what, 10, maybe? 7, 8, something like that.
Little frog.
He doesn't age. Something happened in, like, that Muppet Monsters game that he was a star in.
Yeah.
Something happened. I don't know. I've never played that game. I want to. Maybe we should try and do something about that later on.
That'd be fun.
I don't know. It's for, like, PS... I think it's for PlayStation. I don't know. I don't have a PlayStation. I want to do something with that game.
Yeah.
Or with, like, other computer games, just because that's how I am. But, you know, no such thing as Muppet Canon, so whatever. Muppet Baby certainly doesn't count. If anything, it counts least of all of things.
It's true.
All right. I'm erasing all my notes, because I no longer need them. So we're ready for Kermit Swamp Ears next episode. Anything else? Oh yeah, questions and shit.
I'm looking on, because we only really got, we didn't get anything on Twitter or Tumblr this time around.
Mm-hmm.
But so on Facebook, Anthony Thompson asks what our favorite songs from Muppet Classic Theater were. And you said, did you say yours was Blue Suede Shoes or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 12 Bar Blues. You can't go wrong with 12 Bar Blues. They played it kind of safe, but very Elvis, so it was good.
Remember liking Rizzo's song, but I don't remember anything about it.
Whatever that was.
Whatever it was, I enjoyed it at the time.
My hair's blue now.
Your hair is blue now? What?
It was, yeah, I dyed it turquoise, and then I re-dyed it, because it was fading, the color was fading out, and so I re-dyed it, and now I just went with blue. I did turquoise and blue together, and now I just went with blue, so it's, like, super blue.
When did you dye it?
Yeah. March. After I broke up with my boyfriend.
Have I just not seen any pictures of you since March?
Nope. I haven't had any, I haven't done any pictures.
Well, you should send me a picture of your hair.
Photogenic. Yeah, me and my friend Lortz, she snapped a selfie not too long ago. Yeah, one of my work friends. We were so slow at work that David was like, hey, take a selfie with me. This is how bored I am. I'm like, all right. So if he ever posts that, you might see it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's like the only thing we got.
Yeah, we got some comments. Like Ryan Rowe talked about how it somehow this manages to look and feel cheaper than Billy Bunny's animal songs. Which wow. I'm not familiar with.
That's, okay, so that's like a little straight-to-video thing, which was like literally just Kevin as some weird bunny.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen
it. I've never seen it, I just know what it is.
Yeah, and Ryan mentions that it's way earlier and it featured no major characters besides Kermit.
Yeah, I did watch it at some point, but that's like, okay, so like, things that don't really work, that's kind of like one of them that was just kind of weird and
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows about it or pays attention to it because yeah. I'm trying to see if we got anything like comments or something.
Ellie Drepness talks about how she loves Muppet Classic Theater, which is good.
Yeah.
It's good that someone really loves it, and how she literally watched the videotape until it popped when she was a kid.
Oh, yeah, that was cute.
Aw, it was her sick tape. Aw. Mm. And now she needs to get on DVD. Which I don't...
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen.
I don't know if it's on DVD, unfortunately. Nope. Ellie, if you go on YouTube, it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. That's where I watched
that's
it.
That's how I watched it.
I mean, we have a VCR. I just didn't feel like doing all that work. Yeah.
We have a lot of questions and comments about Kermit's Swamp Years, which is good.
Next time, because this came, like, 45 minutes. I don't think I'm going to have to edit this thing, like, at all.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to take out some pops and snaps, and that's it.
The only other comment that we've got is from Jaden Libren, and he talks about how he used to recreate the Muppet Classic Theater skits with, his Muppet Jack in the Box action figures.
That's adorable.
He does mention that it would have been nice to have Bunsen, Beaker, and Statler and Waldorf there.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because they had recast Beaker and Waldorf and Statler at this point, because Christmas Carol had happened.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Why didn't they use... I mean, Fozzie was only in one, but he was there, and then it was mainly...
Maybe they did. Maybe, like, they filmed little... things with Statler and Waldorf in the balcony, you know, here and there, they would cut to them commenting on
maybe
whatever.
Maybe it just was too long and they had to cut it?
Maybe, yeah, maybe cut for time, and if, you know, they did it, if they only cut one or something, or if they only cut a couple, that it wouldn't make sense. Or... Anyway, we don't have any messages in our blog, but it says that we do.
Yeah, it says that we have one, and there's nothing there.
That worries me.
There's a ghost message.
And I have the same thing for Muppet Mayhem. So maybe it's like somebody that I blocked or something, or like spam or something. Because like that new block function for Tumblr is...
I have no idea.
Hardcore now.
Meh.
I'll look in it.
So I think that's pretty much everything.
Yeah. Paul Williams podcast, which I wanted to mention. Muppet Classic Theater. I told you this would take up a whole hour.
It did.
I told you.
I know. There's always... We're good at rambling and talking a lot about things.
And I took severe notes, so I knew...
I'll make sure to take lots of notes on Kermit Swamp Years.
Yeah.
Which will be one of our next ones. We're also doing... We're going to be interviewing the people behind the I Am Big Bird documentary on the podcast.
Dave and Chad, and I can't remember their last names. Hold on. Chad Walker and Dave Lamatina.
Fun fact, I interviewed them via Skype for Tough Pigs probably like 3 years ago when when the news of I Am Big Bird was just coming out, and then then it took a long time for it to finally hit theaters, but Yeah, hopefully, if you go on YouTube, you can find that interview, and I sound like so awkward, and like everything I say is
Aww.
just like obviously I'm reading it off paper because it was the first
See,
time I'd ever
yeah.
interviewed anybody.
And this is why I like the nerdist way of like the sort of conversation-y kind of thing. And also it shows that you're much better at interviewing people now.
Yay!
Yay. Yay for personal growth.
Woot!
3 years.
So that's.
And that's another thing why I wanted us to get at least to the double digits before we started to like interview any like serious people
Yeah,
kind of
definitely.
thing. I mean, like, other than Jake, which was like awesome and a good surprise, and but he, you know, for personal reasons or or not financial, professional reasons or whatever, he wanted to have all his questions beforehand, probably for whatever he could or couldn't say with his, you know,
Yeah.
what you call it,
Which
not DNR.
contract? Like,
No, DNR, do not release. Okay,
yeah.
DNR, also do not resuscitate. Different things. But yeah, so but he was a lot of fun to do too,
He was.
even though it was rather short.
He's really sweet. I'm Facebook friends with him still.
Well, yeah, me too.
Yay.
Yeah, so maybe we can get, you know, I would love to have like people just coming back for whatever reason, but we don't have that many people on, and we still have like a whole list of people that we need to get on too,
It's true.
especially Dave Holtine.
Our go-to
Maybe
shout out.
that'll be like the running joke is that we literally never have him on ever. Sorry, Dave. But like that's the thing, and then like, well, our next guest is gonna be Dave Holtine. Kind of like Doug Loves Movies, Apologies to Put Your Hands Together, which is not a real podcast that they always overrun.
Yeah.
I'm joking. We're gonna get Dave on
Someday.
soon. Sometime soon. But not this summer because we're doing too much things.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Tell us who you would like us to have on the show. And then if you could like give us their emails, you know, and ask them for us, that would also be cool and helpful. Who would you want to have on the show?
Yeah.
Who's like your number one person?
Me? Or you asked?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I got.
No, I am asking.
I thought that you were
Sorry.
talking to, I don't know,
I'm also talking to the
the
audience.
audience.
But
I don't know. I'd like to, we've had some good people on the show so far. A lot of friends, a lot of
yeah.
new faces. But eventually, I'd love to get, I don't know.
Any Muppeteer?
Yeah, like
Basically.
a certain.
Yeah.
I want to interview David Redman, man.
I know you do. I was gonna say it's baby David Red, right?
He, like, I mean, I love all of them, obviously, but I can't hug him on
I
a
don't
podcast,
know.
though.
It's You can it can be like a
Air
verbal hug.
verbal hugs.
Yeah, we'll just be like, all right, you wrap your arms around yourself, and then we'll just imagine it having a hug. I don't know, that's just like a kindergarten thing. I don't know. You know who mine would be.
Steve.
But I yes, but I would be like I who I was telling I actually okay, so I went out with a guy named Steve last week. So I was telling him about the podcast. And I said I would love to have Steve Whitmore. He's the guy that does Curb Now. He's like my favorite. But I'm like so nervous to talk to any of these people that I admire so much that I kind of almost don't even want to.
Oh yeah,
'Cause like super scared.
I'm the same. I had the thought once. I was like, "Hey, in my lifetime, I'm probably gonna meet one of the Muppet performers. That's awesome." And then I was like,
And
"Oh," and then I
terrifying.
thought, "Oh crap, what am I gonna say when that happens? That's
Yeah, no, I'm
gonna
just gonna
be
like word vomit.
embarrassing."
We're just gonna have to, if we ever interview any Muppeteer, we're just gonna have to set aside like 30 minutes to just word vomit at them, and then be really nervous, and then be really nervous, and then kind of get through the interview with like trying not to be like an interview. We're like, you're trying to be cool. We're trying to like have like be normal people, but then we start just asking really dumb questions.
Exactly.
We're gonna like turn into Chris Farley when Paul McCartney is on the Chris Farley show on SNL. That SNL sketch.
Yeah, no, I
Hey,
know.
remember when you did the Muppet movie? Yeah. That was fun, right?
Exactly.
You're like, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah.
All right, I've got to wrap up because I actually have to run.
Okay. So this was a really good podcast.
This was. So
good job. Thanks. We were like on time.
I know.
We had a smooth beginning. We had a good ending. We got a little bit off track, but only a little bit.
It was solid.
A plus.
It was solid. Awesome. Go us.
Yay.
Thanks.
What number is this? I don't even remember. 11?
Yeah.
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 Cool. Lucky number 11. Yay.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll have another one for you sometime soon.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
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 And that's the secret of frog kissing. And you can do it too if you just listen. Just slow down, turn around, bend down, and kiss you, a frog.